Galatians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. And it's good to be here, good to feel what we're feeling. Amen. The Lord's already done some wonderful things here this evening in this service. Praise God. Praise God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Praise God. That may not seem like a Sunday night message, but it's going to be a Sunday night message because it's Sunday night. Praise the Lord. And just felt this on my heart, and looking at this book of Galatians, I think the Lord wants to show us some things that will help us and strengthen us, give us a more of an understanding of the will of God for our lives, and will help us. Amen. Let's pray together. I want to preach tonight about in due season, in due season. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that you're pouring out among us. God, we lift you up. We give you thanks. We give you praise tonight. And we ask that you will anoint this word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Put your Bible down and give the Lord praise and thanks with me tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight in due season. Everybody said with me, in due season. In due season. And I looked at this to find out the definition of those two words, due season. And the word due here means pertaining to self or one's own or private or separate. And the word season means an occasion, a set or proper time. Amen. And so Paul said here that we would reap in due season if we faint not. And what that simply means there, according to the original definition of those words, is that each of us will reap what we sow in our own particular time frame. That your different time frame is different than my time frame, but the reality of it is each of us are going to reap what we have sown at some point in time. Amen. I'm thankful that God is God and he knows all about that thing. Amen. We would like to reap in different times, but God has his own time frame. Amen. And so to get this in the right context and to understand what the apostle was actually writing about to the churches in Galatia, I want to look at the people that Paul was writing to here. And the book of Galatians was written to the churches, plural, that were in Galatia. Galatia was a Roman province. And it was ruled by the Romans. It was a particular area. Possibly it would be like the state of Kansas in America. Kansas is a particular province that is ruled by a governor. And that's what Galatia was. Galatia was a province in Rome. It's not clear how many churches there were, but there were several churches in this province of Galatia. And Paul was the missionary that went to them. These people here in Galatia had particular characteristics about them, kind of like, we don't see it so much here in America, because here in America we have so many different nationalities and cultures and all of that, that we don't see it here. But in other areas, in the European areas, areas are known for a particular way of thought and culture and so forth. And so the people of Galatia had a reputation of sorts, and I'll just read it here tonight. They have always been described as susceptible of quick impressions and sudden changes. They were known for a fickleness. They were also known for their courage and enthusiasm, and yet their fickleness equaled their courage and enthusiasm. And it became a constant liability, which is the fruit of excessive vanity. And so Paul went into this area, and this is what these people were known for. This is what their, not I suppose their culture, but probably more like their way of thinking, their personality, the thing that they were as a particular people. My nephew went to the heart doctor recently. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. And the doctor asked him, he said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Well, my family is from Germany." "What part of Germany?" And he asked him those questions. And when he told him that he was from the Saxon area, he said, "Oh, I know about that." He said, "Those people there, they have these particular ways of living and thought process and the way that they eat and so forth." And it was kind of enlightening that his doctor knew some of those things about the genealogy and how the genes come down from generation to generation. And this area here of Galatia and the churches that were here in Galatia, with this kind of reputation that they had before, now this is before they came to God. This was not after they came to God. This was an easy target for the enemy to get them off of the track of the original apostolic teaching that was given to them by the Apostle Paul. And Paul established these churches on his first missionary journey. He reveals that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, "You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." And so Paul was the original pastor. He was the original missionary that went into this province of Rome and preached the gospel, and a church sprang up over here, a church sprang up over here, another church sprang up, and there was great excitement and enthusiasm about people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, about people being baptized in Jesus' name, amen, and establishing a church where they could come and worship, amen. And it must have been very fulfilling to go to this area, and we understand that when Paul went there, he was sick. The Bible says, you know, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and so Paul was fighting some things in his own personal body and in his own personal life, and yet he went there anyway to minister to the truth of the gospel to these people, and it must have been very fulfilling to see these number of churches that were established here. And I thought about this as I began to study and began to look at this. Why would a man that was sick and a man that had things that were against him, sick in his body, go to a Roman province and preach the word of God? Why would he cause himself more trouble? Why would he cause himself maybe more sickness and more pain and more distress in his own personal life? Many would say, "Well, I'm going to do it another day." Amen. Like we preached the other night, it's not time to build the house of God because, and we have a lot of reasons and excuses, and yet Paul was very passionate, and why didn't he, though, wait for a better time? Why didn't he just say, you know, there'll be a better time to do this, and or maybe it would be better if I got somebody else to go in my place? to do the heavy lifting here for me. And I can come back later if there's any results. I'll let somebody else do it. I'll stay over here and pray. But Paul didn't do that. Paul was not that kind of a man. And Paul had an acute sense of time about him that literally drove him every day that he lived. He knew the sufferings that he was going to go through. The Lord said that to Ananias when he went to pray for Paul. He said, I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Paul knew there were going to be sufferings. He knew that there were things that he would have to go through in order to accomplish the will of God and his call from God. Amen. He knew that the day would come that he would ultimately die for the Lord, and history records that he was beheaded for his faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul knew that for him and him alone, there would be a due season. A due season in which he would reap the things that he had sown in this life. Amen. It must have been, excuse me, you need to pray for my voice here tonight. Must have been truly fulfilling in his own spirit to see these churches thriving, to see these churches get pastors, to see these churches begin to grow and go forward and to do the work of God. And probably from time to time there were reports that came to him. Five got the Holy Ghost over here on this in this church in the province of Galatia. And 17 over here were saved in Galatia in this particular church. And there was this gratifying feeling and fulfillment that was in the heart of this man as he heard of these stories as time pressed on forward. Amen. And the forward thrust of the churches of Galatia was something that continued for a season. Amen. Until, everybody said until. Until the nature of these people began to come up again. Amen. And it's amazing to me from the starting of these churches, from what I was able to figure out here, from the starting of these churches in Galatia until the writing of the book of Galatians, or this letter that was written and read to these different churches, was approximately 4 years. Everybody said 4 years. Amen. No doubt in those 4 years there were people that came and tried to turn them from the truth. No doubt in those 4 years there were things that they struggled with. There were things that they wrestled with in their spirit. Amen. And reports came to Paul, but he felt confident and he felt assured of the strength and the resolve of these people in Galatia. Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to try to paint a picture for us here tonight. If you can stay with me here for just a little bit. But if truth brought salvation here, then the Galatians needed to see that it would be truth that would take them on into their future. They needed to see that their personality and their natural desire to go in a particular direction was conquered, and it was brought down by being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. When salvation came, it gave them everything that they needed to be happy and satisfied. Amen. And yet there were some old things that began to crop up. Amen. And tonight, I want to preach to us. Amen. Truth brought salvation to us. Somebody told you about the truth, and you're here tonight because of that. How can we expect to go on in error and bring the blessings of God into our lives? I'm here to tell you that it cannot. Amen. We cannot allow emotions to get off of truth that brought us salvation. But we must have a resolve. We must develop a resolve in our hearts amen, of what the truth is and stay with the original apostolic message of truth. Amen. From this generation to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. We're not looking for the newest fad to come along. Amen. We're not looking for the newest thing to come along. Praise God. We're not looking for greener pastures somewhere else. Well, praise the Lord. What we're looking for is to be established in the work of God. Amen. Because salvation is the key thing here. Amen. And Galatians 4 and verse 3, he says to them, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. And so he said it was when the fullness of time was come. Praise God. The appointed time was set for each and every one of us. You might think that you were just walking through life and all of a sudden the opportunity to go to a church made itself available to you. But I'm telling you tonight, it was not a happen chance situation that you darkened the door of the church. Amen. It was not a happen chance situation that God called your name and filled you with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just a little period of time in your life where you needed that, and now we're going to move on to higher things. Oh, no, 1,000 times no. When God called us, it was by a specific appointment of time, in the fullness of time. Repentance was appointed for you and I. A time of repentance was appointed for us. Amen. Water baptism, the time of baptism was appointed for you. The time of receiving the Holy Ghost was appointed. The door, a window was opened. A time frame was given. Thank God we responded to that. Amen. And when we responded to that, great things began to take place. Well, praise God. Praise God, we were lifted up into heavenly places. God delivered us from sins that were hindering us. Well, praise God, good things begin to happen. Great things begin to happen. Amen, because we saw the appointed time and we jumped after it. We got after it. Amen, we threw ourselves into it and said, God has given me an opportunity. I'm not going to let this opportunity go by. I'm not going to let it slip past me. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to do the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So great of salvation came to each of us, and we were ushered into the kingdom of God. Amen. And what has got to take place is a repeating of that process over and over and over and over and over again as we serve the Lord and as we make our way through time and make our way through life here on this earth. Amen. So we must see the need to work for God. We must see the need to find and follow the truth that is found in the Word of God and be established on this apostolic doctrine. There's only one God. His name is Jesus. There's only one way to be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Holiness is still, amen, separation from the world is still the appointed thing for the church of the living God. Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. The Galatians had a fervency about them. They had embraced the preaching of the Apostle Paul, and churches were established overnight. Amen. There was a fire. I know what it's like. I've started more than one church in my life, and I know what it's like when things begin to be moving forward. Amen. There's an irresistible excitement. Amen. And they grew and they multiplied. And no doubt more churches were established even after he was gone. And so I think that we can see, like it was there in Galatia. Amen. But as it always is, time marched onward. Amen. 1 year went by, things were going great. 2 years went by, things were going great. 3 years went by, things were going great. Had a few struggles here and there. 4 years came along, and something began to take place. The newness of this new way began to be more and more commonplace. Until that old nature that I read to you about, susceptible to quick impressions and sudden changes, with a fickleness equal to their courage and enthusiasm. Oh, they had some good things, but they were given over to excessive vanity. Amen. There was pride that was in their past. Amen. And folks, what we've got to understand tonight is that this natural way of living can intrude upon the new way of living if we're not careful. Amen. They were excited. They loved to sing. It makes me love everybody. It makes me love everybody. Oh, I love that song. I felt the Holy Ghost there. Amen. It feels so good to love everybody. Praise God. But all of a sudden, there was something that crept into these churches. It wasn't just one church. It was like a particular area, and it crept into other churches. Amen. All of a sudden, they weren't praying like they used to pray. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost began to diminish in their services, and they didn't feel God like they wanted to feel God. They began to sow things in the flesh. Amen. And suddenly it became a norm among the churches. Amen. And they began to become inconsistent, changeable, confused about what they once embraced. Now, don't tell me that it cannot happen here, because I've seen it happen in many, many other places. They gave themselves over again to excessive vanity and pride. And it was an environment that was ripe for the enemy to come and to begin to sow some new things, amen, that would steal them, steal their faith in God, amen. I can feel the pain, and I can feel the frustration of the Apostle Paul, amen, as he began to pen this letter. I can feel the hope that was in him as he began to pen this letter. Can I take just a little bit of time tonight and go through this book of Galatians? I'm not going to spend a long time, so don't worry. But I want to give us a sense here of what the Lord is trying to tell us here tonight. Galatians 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Somebody missed that one on the debate the other night. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, even from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so he gives hope, and he gives them hope here. He said, I'm an apostle, but grace be to you. Grace be to you. Amen. If Paul was a dispenser of grace, then in reality he was dispensing grace to a people who had some real problems right here. Amen. Paul was not the dispenser of grace. Paul was praying for the grace of God to be upon them. Because it is only through the grace of God. Amen. Everybody said the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God, not the grace of a man. Amen. But the grace of God. It is through the grace of God that we're going to get anything that we are faced with out of the way and move on with Him. It will only be by the grace of God. If we don't have the grace of God tonight, we're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to do anything for God. It is God that does it all. Praise the Lord. And so Paul, in his maturity, Paul, in his spiritual maturity, did not jump in and criticize them immediately, but Paul was quick to build them up. He was quick to say, grace be to you. He was quick to say, we have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. He has called us to a glorious calling. But as it was with the apostle, he always got to the point, and his letters were very heavy. It was written of another church that he wrote a letter to that the whole church began to weep as the letter was written to them. It was so weighty, and it was so powerful. And so he tells them in Galatians 1 and verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Folks, we cannot afford to allow anybody to come and pervert or change the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot afford to allow the apostolic doctrine to slip away from us because of carnal things. Amen. Because of a lack of prayer, and somebody comes along, and we're not facing this, but we may face this. Amen. Somebody coming along with some brand new thing. Amen. To tempt the flesh and to take us off in another direction. I'm here to tell you tonight, as long as God gives me the strength to pastor and to preach the word of the Lord, I'm going to preach this apostolic message. Amen. I'm going to preach it with everything that's within me. Amen. And let the chips fall where they fall. Well, praise God. And there are some that came to the Galatians, to the churches in Galatia, and they said the only way to be saved is you must be circumcised. Because in the Old Testament law, the Old Testament said that if you were not circumcised, you could not be saved. Circumcision was the mark that was placed upon the people that said, we are cutting away the flesh, amen, and we are serving God. It was a physical representation of a spiritual repentance that takes place in our lives. That when we repent, we cut away the fleshly nature, amen, we cut away the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and we give ourselves to God. Somebody help me a little bit here tonight. Amen. And he established this here. He said, listen, if we're going to go back to the old, then we don't have Jesus Christ anymore. Amen. And he established that this new way does not incorporate the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. It does not incorporate the Old Testament giving of sacrifices and all of the things that they did in the Old Testament. They were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But there are some things in the Old Testament that do apply to us today, and that is the moral laws of God. The moral laws, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. All of these things are still in effect in the New Testament. Amen. In the old, they were written on a table of stone, but in the New Testament, they're written in a different place. They're supposed to be written on the tables of our heart. Praise the Lord. And he said, if any man come preaching any other gospel than what they had preached unto them, let him be accursed. He got right down to the point here. And it must have been quite disturbing to write it this way to those whom he loved so very much. He understood, he had an acute understanding that in a due season, amen, there would be some things that would come upon them. And he was trying desperately to get their full attention so that he could turn them back from going to the ways of the Old Testament law, amen, because if they were to go back to the law, then they would be leaving Christ behind. It was a trick of the devil, amen. And folks, I'm telling you, saint of God, I'm telling you tonight, there are a lot of tricks of the devil, but don't fall for a single one of them. Keep your eye focused. Keep your eye simple. Keep your eye single on one thing. Amen. The truth of the Word of God, and I'm going to go to heaven, and I need to touch God in my life. If you'll get that established in your heart and in your life, you'll make it all the way. Amen. Praise God. The last part of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, he declares his credentials. Amen. Once again, and his God-given authority to correct them. In chapter 3, he calls them foolish Galatians, and then proceeds to explain the covenant that God has for you and I by starting a Bible study of sorts about Abraham and the covenant of promise. Amen. Abraham was called of God. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was justified. Abraham was made in God's eyes as righteous before there was ever circumcision. He was righteous without that. Amen. But it came to pass that God ordered that in the law of the Old Testament. Amen. God still orders it today, but not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. If we don't cut off those old attitudes, we can't be saved. If we don't cut off those old things in our life, we cannot be saved. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It is a requirement in the Word of God that we allow Him to write and to circumcise our hearts. Amen. So that we can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so he talks about Abraham. And as I've already said, it does not discount the moral laws of God when we talk about the Old Testament like this. Amen. But then in Galatians chapter 5, amen, he said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word." He takes the law and condenses it down for these churches. And he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Amen. And so he said, we're called unto liberty, but we cannot use the liberty that God has given us, amen, to bite and to devour one another. If Gavin prays 10 hours a day, if you ever get to the place where you're walking with God that close and you pray that much every day, God forbid that you would take that liberty of prayer in your life and say, because Hunter does not pray 10 hours a day, he's not spiritual. You cannot take the liberty that you feel like you have in God. And Nathan fasts 5 times every day. Amen. And because you get spiritual and you have a liberty and you can do that. Amen. Don't ever get to the place where you criticize Garrett because he doesn't do that. We cannot take the liberty that God has given us and use it as a weapon against one another. We cannot say, I pray this much, but those folks over there don't pray that much. And so I'm not going to be a part of them, or I have a right to criticize them or to condemn them. I'll tell you where that spirit comes from. Do you want to know where it comes from tonight? It comes from walking in the flesh. Those folks are not spiritual. They're fleshly. They're carnal. Amen. They're walking not after the Spirit of God, because God is love. And I'm not talking about some sort of thing that overlooks sin. Amen. We try very hard here in the church. If you're going to be in a position of leadership, amen, you should do the very best that you can to preach and to teach, amen, and to live what we preach and teach here in the church. And as far as I know, everyone in leadership does. But I'm telling you tonight, we don't have the right. God has not given us the option to point fingers and to say, this one did that and this one did the other. Because after a while, you begin to bite. You will begin to devour. Amen. Once you get a taste of blood, all of a sudden you want more. And before you know it, gossip begins to take place. I'll tell you what we need to be talking about is not about one another, but what we need to be talking about is how great our God is. What we need to be talking about is what we're going to do to reach somebody with the gospel and share the word of God with them. What we need to do is be on our knees and talking to God and saying, God, help me to love everybody. Help me to love everybody. Help me to speak kindly about everybody. Praise God. Because everybody is going to find their place in due season. Your due season is different than mine. Amen. I can't judge you by my season. I can't judge you by my harvest. Praise God. But I can only judge myself by the call of God that is placed upon my life. I'm preaching tonight. Well, praise the Lord. And so it takes out carnality. For the law is fulfilled. If we want to fulfill the whole law, there's two laws. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that's in the law is hanging on that. Amen. I don't want to be accused of criticizing or condemning others. I don't want to be criticized or condemned, amen, for gossiping about others. Oh, I hope it's not getting quiet in here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm telling you, it took place in 4 short years. And it's unfortunate, but I have seen those that have been living for God a long time that still haven't got this figured out. Folks, we've got to love one another. For love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. I want to be like God. Do you want to be like God? I want the peace of God in my heart. Amen. And sometimes it's very difficult to get because, as it says in Scripture, that in the end times, and I believe we're living in the end times, amen, that there will be many offenses that will take place. And the hearts of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. It will become more and more difficult to protect your heart. It will become more and more difficult not to become bitter. Amen. It will be more and more difficult not to get caught up in the swirl of this world and all the crazy things that are taking place. Amen. But what we've got to establish tonight is that there is a due season. Amen. Paul was trying to tell these folks and build them up to this particular message. Amen. In four short years. Amen. Galatians 5 and 14. The law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God set in the church members, didn't he? God put members in the church. God put the pastor in the church. God put the prophets in the church. God put the evangelists in the church. The teachers in the church. The fivefold ministry. God gave that as a gift to the church. Amen. Garrett, if you've got a need, Nathan's not your pastor. Hunter, if you got questions, Gavin's not your pastor. Isaac's not your pastor. That's right. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody, smile just a little bit. Amen. God has set in the church. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to go and talk to the pastor about such and so because of this, that, or the other. Hey, listen, I'm telling you tonight, God put these things in the church for a reason. Amen. Amen. This is my office right here. It's not a torture chamber. Praise the Lord. It's not a torture chamber. It's not a place where you're investigated. Amen. And sentenced and judged. Oh, God, help us here today. We've got to understand that God set things in their particular order. And so when somebody comes along, God, I just feel this here tonight. Please take it in the spirit of love that I'm preaching it here tonight. But if somebody comes along and says, well, I don't agree with that, and I think it ought to be done this way, I'm telling you what, they're stepping out of the order. If that's how they feel, then they need to knock on that door right there and say, we need to talk about this. But we don't need to be talking about it to other people. Why? Because it begins to get biting and it begins to devour. And before you know it, there's hard feelings and there's bitterness. And before you know it, it's not my church, it's that church. Amen. Before you know it, amen, it's not my pastor, it's that preacher over there. Oh God, help us. We got to be saved. And not only do we have to be saved, our children have to be saved. God, help us that we don't have an environment like the Galatians. Amen. And they came to this in 4 short years. In 4 short years. Amen. And so he builds up to chapter 6. Now he's talking about walking in the Spirit. And when you start talking about walking in the Spirit, you're not talking about walking in the flesh. You're not going to get so spiritual that you can gossip. You're not going to get so spiritual that you can run folks down. You'll never get so spiritual. You'll never fast enough till God tells you to go and rebuke someone. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It's just not going to happen. You won't get that spiritual. Here's spirituality, Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, oh, we found a hypocrite among us. You which are spiritual. Everybody said spiritual. He's writing to the churches in Galatia. Restore such one in a spirit of condemnation, criticism. It's not what he said, is it? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, he was telling the Galatians, he was saying, folks, you're right here where you need to be rebuked now. And you're rebuking others when you need to be rebuked. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Can I give you my interpretation of that right there? Can I? For every man shall mind his own business. And let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to rejoice in what God's doing in my life. I want to rejoice in what God is doing in your life. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. I'm so thankful that God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that I could be a little part of where you are spiritually here tonight. Amen. I don't want to get to the place where I think that I am something when I am nothing. And if I think that I'm nothing, then I really don't feel qualified to condemn or to criticize. This is what he's telling the Galatians here. And he got to the point of his writing, to this point where he concluded the message. And Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Oh, sometimes you want to say something, don't you? And you get weary because it doesn't seem like anything is changing. And you want to just drop the hammer. And you want to let them have it. And don't look at me like you're so spiritual here tonight. I get to that place quite often. You know why? Because I live in this world. And I just want to grab them by the neck and say, can't you get this? What's wrong with you? Oh, I know. You've never been that way before. I'm making a confession here tonight. Confession's good for the soul. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just straighten up? But I know to be spiritual, I need to say, I love you. I'm praying for you. Not, I'm praying for you. I know you got problems and I'm praying for you. No. And you don't even have to say, I'm praying for you. Just pray for them. Ask God to bless them. Oh, well, they did me wrong. Well, ask God to forgive them. Well, praise the Lord. Forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. They don't have any concept of where they're going. In due season, they're going to reap. Amen. We cannot bypass this. We cannot get around this because it is a principle. It is a law, in effect, amen, that God has established in this world. We shall reap in due season. Paul understood that when we give ourselves over to the old man or the old woman that we used to be, we're in danger. Oh, he understood they were in grave danger, called them foolish, said they'd left Christ Jesus, amen, and in grave danger of losing their very soul, amen. Folks, we've got to remain steadfast and determined, amen. What brought us here will keep us here, amen. What brought revival yesterday will bring it again and again and again and again, amen. And I'm telling you, the Lord is here in this church. Be not weary in well-doing, for we're going to reap in due season. Amen. My friend, the answer may not come when you want it. It may come for somebody else sooner than when it came for you. But in your season, in your due season, in your appointed season, you're going to reap what you have sown. And that's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. Joseph sowed dreams and visions from God, and Joseph decided to do what was right in the eyes of his father Jacob. Life led him down a road of loneliness. It led him down a road of hurt and disappointments, but Joseph never lost sight of the truth. In due season, I'm going to reap if I faint not. And he did reap the good benefits of God. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Somewhere in his heart of hearts as a young man, he got a hold of the concept, in due season, I'm going to reap if I faint not. Abraham went out into a land that he did not even know, and he followed God and never lived in a house the rest of the days of his life. He left wealth and all of that behind, amen, because he got the concept, in due season, I shall reap if I faint not. Noah prevailed because he saw the finish line ahead. They that say such things declare that they are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. The prophets saw in due season. Jesus saw in due season. The Galatians saw in the here and now. Judas saw money here and now. Demas saw the pleasures of this world here and now. Cain saw the here and now. And in due season, they reaped what they had sowed. What are you sowing tonight in your life? Are you sowing to the Spirit of God? Are you following the will of God in your life? Amen. Are you building up the church of God? Are you building up and edifying and strengthening one another? Amen. It's very, very important, because if we don't go that direction, we will go back to the old nature, and the old nature is to bite and to destroy and to kill. Folks, it's not time to relax tonight. Let's stand together right now. It's not time to relax, but it's time to sow. Amen. Anybody want to join with me and let's reach somebody? Amen. It's time right now to do good to one another. Amen. It's time right now, and always is time, to speak well of one another. Amen. Let's stay away from those things that would run down the people of God and the church of God and the ministry. Amen. But let's talk about God. Let's talk about the Lord. When you get together for fellowship, say, hey, I've got a scripture I want to share with you. And let the subject begin to be God and the Word of God and the things of God. Express your faith in the future with God. Amen. And fellowship about good things, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and any praise. I know it says think on these things, but out of the heart the mouth speaks. Amen. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about the things of God. Amen. Let's share what the Lord showed you in prayer. Amen. And be an inspiration to someone else. Amen. Be an inspiration to someone else. Amen. And let's look again at the road ahead, and let's claim the future with God. Anybody with me here tonight? I know you are. Praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here in this place. In due season. In due season. In your time. In your place, in your way, amen. God has the answer for you. What you have sown is what you will reap. Amen. Run from the things of the flesh, but run to the Spirit of God. Run to the altar. Amen. Run to the altar. Praise God. Praise God. I don't get the opportunity that often to go to the altar, but when I was sitting in your place, I never felt like going to the altar was a big deal. I mean, like, I didn't worry about going to the altar. Maybe I should say it that way. I didn't look at going to the altar as a big problem. Or, you know, I've got to wait until my knuckles are white before I give in and go to the altar and pray through. No, this is my friend right here. The place where we gather together. Brothers and sisters, amen, headed for eternity together with one another, where we're praying, where we're feeling the powers of the world to come, where we're literally standing in the gate of heaven, and we can see the angels in our mind's eye. We can see the angels ascending and descending, where we can hear a voice from a higher place that says, hey, I'm going to give you good things. I'm going to give you glad tidings, good things. I'm going to bring peace to your heart. I want to hear that voice from up there. But the voices that are down here are not like that. The voices that are down here are, I'm going to kill you. And you better run for your life, Jacob. The voices that we hear down here are the crack of a whip of a Pharaoh's taskmaster. What we hear down here are things, oh God, I'm just so excited about going to heaven. I just want to be with the Lord for all of eternity and just forget about all of this stuff. Amen. If he came tonight, I'd be so happy. Praise God. For me. But maybe not for others. But that's their walk with God. And that's their life. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Mind your own business. Do your own work. Bear your own burdens. Amen. But then it says, bear one another's burdens. Got to get it in the right perspective tonight. Amen. There's a line in the middle between those two. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you for these precious people. I'm asking you tonight, God, begin to fill people with the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for filling with the Holy Ghost tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the peace of God. Thank you, Lord, for installing love in our hearts for one another. I thank you tonight. I give you praise tonight. I give you thanks tonight. I give you praise tonight. I bless your name in the sanctuary, Lord Jesus. I praise your name in the sanctuary tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's just thank him for the Holy Ghost tonight. Why don't you thank him for washing your sins away in baptism? Why don't you thank him tonight for your neighbor that's standing close to you? Why don't you thank him for your brother and your sister? Thank him for your wife and your husband and your children. Thank him for all of the things that you have tonight. We're in a great place. We're in a place of good tidings. We're in a place of good things. Praise God. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great things, which shall be for all people. Praise God. That's for you and I tonight. That's for the church. Praise God.